Say our blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We are going to start with prayer. And I pray you can hear me okay on the stream. It's always hard to figure because there's no VU meter over there. So please bow your hearts. Okay, good. Thank you, Brother Ian. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with this Sabbath day and the promised changing of the showbread as you do each week. Thank you for blessing us as we are daily in the Word, giving us the food we need, spiritual, on a daily basis. And thank you for keeping us safe all throughout the week. We uplift all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. We have many, Father, many loved ones that aren't on the path. But we thank you for the seeds that you give us to cast out, and hopefully those seeds will find some good water, some good soil, and then that way you can give the increase to it. Please bless everyone that's doing the work. Keep them safe with a hedge of angels all around the world. And thank you for so many people out there doing it now. It's just amazing. It's like, it's not just a church now. It's a movement. And it's amazing what you're doing. And we never asked any of them. And so thank you for them as well. Please forgive us, cleanse us, and bless us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And thank you for hearing our prayers. In the name of your Son, our Savior and King, and for blessing all the prayer requests that were put in the room here a moment ago. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Wow. That's pretty intense. And that dream is repeated, Brother Matthew? Oh, while he's awake, that's happening. All right. Well, we are getting close. So anyway, as you recall, we left off last Sabbath in the middle of discussing how reading the Word daily, which the showbread represents in the holy place, is a must for all of God's children. And it's no mistake that the Holy Spirit moved, Sister Mindy and my wife, well, and little Kylie, you know, to speak on such things in regards to the Word. And so, praise his name. And what is also a must, as the ingredients of the showbread illustrate, we too must share our faith with those the Lord sends our way. I mean, after all, many of us, myself included, were led to Christ by his Word, and second, by the expressed evidence of his Word in those that believe his Word. And what I mean is, yes, we mostly found Jesus Christ by opening the Bible, but some of us may have seen Christ first in those that opened his Bible before us. You know, how many times have you heard me say that some of us may be the only Bible some people read before they make that final decision, and so we got to do it. I mean, look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. It says this. As a matter of fact, Romans 10, 14 was my handle before I stopped using handles, and that was a long time ago. I used to use that on AOL chat rooms, when I used to piggyback two ways to get on the internet back in the dial-up days. And that's when AOL banned me because I used to go into Roman Catholic chat rooms as Romans 10:14. And a Catholic priest, two Catholic priests, started a campaign against me. And they used all these vulgar symbols in the chat room, you know, drawing things with fancy graphics. And all the Catholic people chimed in and followed their lead, and then they complained to AOL about me, made up a bunch of lies, and AOL believed it. And I was banned. I couldn't get on the internet at all because AOL was the way to get in. But the very next day, the internet, the library in town allowed me to use their internet for free for years. And so I just went straight on that way, and it was great. That's when the website got started, too. I uploaded to their server. And but anyway, Romans 10, verses 14 and 15 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that was Romans 10, 14. Well, verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And Isaiah 52, 7 echoes the same truth from thousands of years in the past when the Holy Spirit moved him to declare in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. I mean, he is our king, right? I mean, do not men also, even of old, I mean, way back in the good old days, in David's day, didn't they consider it an honor to suffer for their king? I mean, have not men of renown gladly died for their king all throughout history? We serve the eternal king, though. It's an honor to suffer and even die for this king, because we know in so doing not only glorifies him as king of all creation, our obedient act cuts the hearts of all looking on. And yes, this is why some of us will end up in courtrooms to declare our faith in the coming days, because there will be people in those courtrooms that need to not only hear the truth as we are moved by the Holy Spirit to present it, they also need to see how we can have absolutely no fear whatsoever in our hearts when we declare things that everyone knows will get us jailed or even killed. I mean, think about it. I mean, it was one thing to stand as a Christian during the Inquisition, because most of the guys that did that didn't even understand that they were in the midst of the 1,260 years. They didn't understand prophecy as we do today. You know, because we all know about the prophecy of Daniel chapter 12 in the last days. You know, knowledge will be increased. And so they didn't even understand and know that. And so that was 100% based on faith. Well, it's the same thing today. But the nice thing is now we have absolute overwhelming evidence that if we're jailed or even threatened with death, it's because Jesus is coming soon and they don't like to hear what we have to say. I mean, this is why the five wise virgins gained entry to the wedding at the midnight cry that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 25. I mean, they had plenty of that oil in the lamps, in their lamps, because they feasted on his bread daily so as to keep their lamps trimmed and bright enough to see the path set before him, you know, or them. And so it's fitting that oil is used in the making of the showbread as well. You know, because we know oil means Holy Spirit and prophecies. And so, but sadly, the five unwise virgins neglected their daily study in his word. And their lamps went out. You know, just like the many people that claim Christ Lord over the years that have left the church due to the lack of Bible study. You know, it's a strange fruit of the human spirit to gravitate away from people that stay in the word because they feel uncomfortable. They don't want to be in their presence. Even if they're not living with us, they don't like the rules and regs of the house, let's say. And they can't even move themselves. And it's not so much them doing it. It's the God they worship doing it to them, forcing it upon them. Because, people worship Satan when they don't worship Christ. You got to worship someone. Even the atheist worships Satan, but he doesn't know it. Worship is just another word of like saying obedient. You know, obeying. And there's a reason birds of a feather flock together. They are in union as a species. Well, are we not new creations in Christ when we find him as Lord? And being born again, we will naturally gravitate towards like-minded brethren. I mean, hence the reason churches were built, so as to make it easier for people of the same faith to join together in worship. It always was. You know, and that's why you see what's happening today. The Holy Spirit moved my wife and I many years ago to start a home church because, and I kid you not, for 10 years since we left the Catholic Church, and this was as Sunday keepers, we couldn't find a home. Even as Sunday keepers, we couldn't understand why the Sunday keeping churches were preaching some crazy stuff. Because even though we didn't echo it a lot in the churches, we were into prophecy even back then. Granted, we didn't understand a lot of it because, disobedience. But then when we started keeping Sabbath, even there, this went on for another 5 or 6 years. We still couldn't find, I mean, sure, we went to some SDA churches just to see. But, you know, with our Catholic upbringing, and we were devout, you know, going to Mass daily in the Catholic Church and saying the rosary, teaching the Catholic doctrine. And I was a Eucharistic minister, in fact. And, so we knew Catholicism in and out. I mean, we were born and raised in it. And so when we walked into that SDA church, it was obviously Catholicism. But most in the SDA church today, especially the young people, don't have any clue about this. And when we went to another one, they had clues about it, so they tried to remove the Catholic flavor because the overwhelming majority of the people in that church were over 65 years old. And so, but even there, you could see some of the Catholicism because it slowly works its way in. It's kind of like the frog in a pot of water, you know. You put him in a pot of cool water and start the fire underneath him. He doesn't realize there's a problem until it's too late. The water gets a little warmer, and it's fine. But then when he needs the ability to jump out because now it's getting too warm, he can't. He can't touch his feet on the bottom of the thing because it's too hot. He can't grab the edges of the pot because it's too hot. So then he cooks to death. And that's what happens to SDAs. I mean, the Protestants are already pretty well boiled. But they can get out too, you know. They can obviously get out too. The main reason we focus on SDAs when we speak of Christians is because they had the truth. Capernaum, like, you know, it states in the Spirit of Prophecy. They had the truth, but they walked away from it. So when people find Christ as Lord and Savior, and there's other people near them that have done as well, you know, they're going to join together in worship. I mean, it literally becomes the norm, you know, unto them and home unto them. But when you stop reading the word daily, eventually one of two things are going to happen, if not both. Number one, you tend to feel unworthy to be in a church with those who you used to call brethren due to the guilt welling up from within that comes from allowing their flesh to weaken their faith, be it, you know, simple laziness in reading the word or of temptation by Satan making them think it's not helping them to read it. Because when you don't read it, oh, he's going to jump all over that. He knows exactly how to do this. He's been studying Christians as a super intelligent being. He's been studying the people of God from the Old Testament to the New for 6,000 years. And he's an angel. And so he knows exactly what to do in ways that you can't catch it. And that's why you got to stay in the Bible. Because, you know, if you don't have that anchor, he's going to have you floating all over that lake. And number two, when they stop reading the Bible, lies become more believable than truth. You know, this is why I come across people all the time. We saw some people leave our church family years ago because they stopped reading for a while. They eventually fell off the path. They stepped out of the church, and not long after stepping out of the church, started calling us a cult. And then literally started going back to Sunday-keeping churches, eating bloody meat and drinking booze. I mean, and putting it all over Facebook. Like it's, you know, their freedom now. And that's what Satan does. He boasts of all the trophies in his trophy case. And so lies become more believable and truth becomes hard to believe. And so such persons leave the church and even declare it to be a cult after leaving it because they gotta, you know, they gotta do that final thing. And it's not so much them doing it than the, you know, the dying God that they worship. And so I implore you, all of you, each and every one of you in the church family, to stay in the Word of God daily. I mean, read your Bibles in the morning and in the evening so as to have the proper spiritual food needed to stand in the coming days. And we know from what, you know, the United Nations, and check this out, because I'm not setting any dates, obviously, like some in the SDA church are now doing, in fact. I don't think I'd even make it a video about that because they literally changed the day equals a year prophecy into a day equals a day. On camera, an SDA leader in the faith, no less, on 3ABN kind of guy. And he's on 3ABN. We have to realize that, you know, when the UN announced that they're making plans for a one world government by 2030, it could happen by 2025. I mean, seriously, do you not think the Pope, who runs the United Nations and gave it its birth, knows there's people like us out there preparing? And if he says that his plans were 2030, could it be he thinks he can get it done by 2025 to catch the Christians off guard, thinking, we got 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, whatever. Yeah, we got some time. And so as they drag their feet, all of a sudden, boom. I mean, Hitler did it. Hitler came up with all these crazy dates, you know, in regards to his socialistic format. And like that, I'm going to never forget reading about this one woman in her late 90s. And this is like 20, 30 years ago I read about. She goes, it was amazing how Hitler did it. She says, one night she went to bed in a free country. The next morning she woke up. People were being hauled off out of their homes and put in the back of trucks, heading off to concentration camps. That quick. While everybody was sleeping, all the cities got surrounded. And it's 10 times easier to do that today. But if you have Christ in you, from reading his word, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? If you have men here, yeah, who cares if you go to a concentration camp? You now know that you have been blessed with truth. And like, you know, the apostles in prison praising God that they were found worthy to suffer for him, because Jesus predicted, prophesied, in fact, that, you know, if you follow him, you're going to suffer like he did. And so if you do, you know he's smiling ear to ear because you're doing what the world hates. And that's what he needs us to do, because there's people out there that need to hear what we have to say. So this is an absolute must. If you are ever to be counted worthy of the latter rain, as well as to have the promised power from above to stand firm in Jesus, when that long prophesied hour of temptation comes upon all mankind, that includes the Christians. He's going to start at the church first. That's the prophecy. He has to start at the church first. I mean, because if you neglect this duty to grow in Christ by studying his word daily, then not only will you be passed by as the latter rain falls, you won't even gain the seal of God to stand firm when the guillotines are rolled out. You will eventually accept the mark of the beast, because without a daily dining on the showbread, the peace of Jesus within you is going to diminish, and the fear of death fostered into your heart by Satan will eventually gain absolute control. I know, I had all sorts of bouts with fear. I mean, my buddies didn't know, because, you know, as a guy, you want to play Mr. Macho, right? And so, but when I was a teen, anxiety off the chart all the time, and fear, paranoia, I used to call it. And when I found Christ, boom, it was gone. It was like, literally like a weight lifted off me, you know. Confidence, everything, it came back, you know, self-confidence, you know, self-assurance, you know, that. And I'm not saying that's, you know, something you need. I obviously lacked it at that point, even though I was shooting stick and all this other stuff. I played the kind of stuff, but I still had the fear deep inside. I mean, this fear does not come from above, you know, because the Lord says he has not given us a spirit of fear. And so if he hasn't given it, guess who has? I mean, there's only one other choice, you know. And so this fear that does not come from above will make you fear to lose your job if you keep Sabbath holy. And if you make it past that point where you allow them to take your job, to the point you refuse the mark, and, you know, when it comes to the buy and sell temptation, by either, you know, and there's ways you can get around that one by still not being a Christian. You can clamor near to people that are Christians who you believe will supply your needs, because the Lord has moved them to become self-sufficient. And yes, this is why a lot of Christians in these last days that understand the truth and keep Sabbath are vegan. I mean, there's two ways to look at that coin. Number one, we're getting our bodies used to the fact that, hey, you know, this is what Adam and Eve ate, so we may as well get used to what we're going to be eating when we get home in heaven. The good stuff, you know, the vegan stuff. And then the other toss of the coin is, even on the run, you can just scrape off little areas of the soil and get the weeds out of the way and drop a seed in there. You can be self-sufficient living out in the woods and have the food you need. And this is why I would think most people in this church family are vegan. And number two, if you got homes and land to do so, most of us even have gardens. And the Lord even blessed us with a little, you know, like a little, I think it's a 16-footer, 16-by-9 greenhouse for us to start our, as a matter of fact, Fran's out there growing lettuce as we speak. And so, well, not right now. She's here in church, but we have lettuce and stuff, because that stuff you can actually grow in winter with the lack of light. So, but the thing is, my point is, there are some people that will refuse the mark when it comes to the buy and sell thing that aren't really walking as they should, but they figure if they get close to people that are self-sufficient because they had the wisdom and the wherewithal from above to get ready for what's already started, you will eventually fear the guillotine later, you know, and die in hellfire instead of, you know, by the gentle sting of a falling blade. I mean, you talk about the easiest way to die. Bullet to the head or blade to the neck? I mean, seriously. I mean, what's easier? Dying in your sleep, right? That's about it. And so if you have not the faith that the dining on showbread builds up within you, and here's another thought, too. Even if Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime, you're still going to die. Doesn't matter when. I mean, seriously, because we all know there's a heaven, regardless if you have strong faith or not. Everybody knows about that. I mean, there's plenty of evidence out there of Jesus Christ, right? There's plenty of evidence about his truth. It's just most people just have the issue of applying it to themselves. You know, that's about it as far as I can see. I mean, that's how I was. And so, but if you don't have, the faith that, reading the Bible daily or, because we're studying the showbread, dining on the showbread every day, then you will fear to lose your livelihood and even your life when the mark is enforced. Because Jesus plainly said in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, he says, if any man will come after me, follow his lead, obey him, do as he says you should do. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. A lot of people get all confused about that. Well, he's talking about mortal life and then eternal life here. Because a lot of people will seek to save their mortal lives to avoid that guillotine, which in turn means they lose their eternal life, which is actually the real reason of life, that the real, let's see, what's a good way of saying this? The original design, if you will, that the way the Lord created humans. Because even science will tell you today, if you were to learn something new every split second, you can't exhaust the memory capacity of a human brain. It would take millions and millions of years. But we've got a post-flood brain, which is around one-third the size, or half the size in some cases, of what it'll be like before the flood of Noah or when we're in heaven. And no one, even if you're going to college, no one learns something new every split second. So if you have a brain now that can last millions and millions of years, if you learn something new every second, which you can't, so which means it's actually eternal, imagine a brain twice that size. And so the real meaning of life is my point. We weren't designed to live 100 years. We were designed to live forever. And think about this as well. Jesus went to the cross for you. That was a torturous death. But some Christians cannot deal with the withdrawal of putting down a cigarette, the glass of alcohol, the drug, or even some porn, for that matter. And think of the torturous death of Christ, and some people can't handle the sting. All you're going to feel is a little sting of a blade of a guillotine, right? It's not like they have that thing coming down slow and sawing you. And even if they did, does that matter? Huss sang when he was on fire, Jesus is going to step in at that time. How many times have we talked about getting the ticket to the train when the train pulls in the station? He's going to give you the faith you need at that moment. You don't have to have evidence that it's going to be there beforehand. Because that shows a lack of faith if that's what you're hoping for. Trust him. When you need it, it's going to be there. And so, these people that can't put down the cigarettes, the booze or the drugs or the porn, they seek to save their way of life on earth. And in so doing, they're going to lose eternal life in heaven because they can't put down those things that they're addicted to. But if you deny self and walk away from such things and do so for the Lord Jesus Christ, then even if they were to kill you in this life, you're going to gain eternal life. So, but anyway, that oil used in the bread also speaks of the gladness and joy of the heart. That's why we always say not only praise the Lord for our salvation, it's the joy of our salvation too. It's given unto us by studying his word. It also represents the fact we are anointed by that same oil when we obey and trust his word. For it is written in Psalm 45, verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. And yeah, this is why some of us have an issue with some people that we love, that they do the things. And you can't really figure it out until you read this verse. Because I was trying to figure out why is it when I first became a Christian, I started seeing some of my friends and relatives do things that just irked me. Never bothered me before. Could care less before. Yeah, hey, more power to you if that's what you get into, right? But now that I'm a Christian, I couldn't. This is like, why is this bothering me? Well, that's because the Holy Spirit inside is moving you to say something to try to help them. And he's not moving you to do the finger pointing. Oh, that's where Satan likes to manipulate what the Spirit's doing. Tries to tempt you to do things you shouldn't be doing. But Psalm 45:7 says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, we've already looked into why they used fine flour, and we just more or less finished why they're using oil in the showbread. And since we only got 4 minutes left, I'm not going to step into this next one. It's going to be salt. The next ingredient that they have for the showbread is salt. And let me just throw out some spoilers for next week's Sabbath, because I got 4 minutes. I may as well throw something in here. Salt is a preservative. Anybody that, because when I was a teenager, I was so busy doing stupid stuff, I didn't even have time to eat a meal. So I would buy beef jerky all the time, and I lived on that. You know, it was just crazy the way I lived back then. Beef jerky and candy bars, you know, like Hershey's or something. I don't know. I can't even remember. Three Musketeers was my favorite back then. I remember that. But beef jerky, because before they had refrigeration, that's what they used, was salt to preserve things, you know. And that's and to this day, that's how they use a lot of companies that make beef jerky. They still do that, or smoking it. You know, they smoke it, but, you know, the salt was the original way. And there's a reason for that. We are the salt of the earth, it says in the scriptures. And we actually help those people around us by preserving them. And I'll just share this one thing, because this is why, pray for the atheists, they don't seem to realize, or the homosexuals, the ones that slam the Christians on a regular basis, they don't realize that their peace, their ability to continue on, the reason the plagues haven't fallen yet, is because the Lord is being merciful towards them and blessing them with Christians nearby to help them see. But the minute the Christians are taken out of the picture, that's it. You know, they're on their own. But case in point, and I'll just share this one last thing, and I'll probably share it again next week. But we had a hailstorm out here many years ago when we first moved into this house. And I remember the guy down the road says, you know, right before you guys moved in, that house was obliterated with everybody here got obliterated with hail. And he says he lost his roof and stuff, but we didn't. You know, the roof we had was still there. But the Lord blessed us with a new one years later. But we didn't have to pay a dime for it. It was amazing how he did that. But we had a hailstorm. And it happened to be the day AT&T was supposed to be here at the house, because I was putting in DSL, even though I have a T1 in the house for the servers. Back then it was a T1. Now I got like a T10, if you want to call it that. But he noticed something, and this guy was, you know, talkative like me. And he says, I just saw something that made the daylights out of me, and kind of talked with a twang. So I says, what's that? And he goes, I just drove through over 5,000 acres of, because he had to go through the area where the hail fell to get to us. We're out here in the middle of nowhere, for those of you that don't know. We're on farmland. And he says, yeah, all the farms have been destroyed. And the nice thing was is the hailstorm hit early in the spring, because that's usually when the violence comes anyway. So they were able to re-till their land and replant. And, you know, they were a little late harvesting, but they made it before winter, right? But all the fields, I think it was 5,500 acres destroyed. I mean, everything was ripped. The trees had no leaves. I mean, it was gone. And these things were coming down like walnuts, right? Cars are destroyed, windows destroyed, roofs destroyed, everything, right? And it wasn't hardly any wind. It was just coming down like gangbusters. And he goes, and I says, well, what was so shocking to you? He says, right when I got to the edge of your land, it was fine. You know, it was like, he goes, you know, from this street to that street, and if I go past that, it starts up again. It's all destroyed again. And he goes, well, that's because we're Christians. And I showed him some of the scripture in regards to how the Lord will protect or heal our land. And he says, well, you don't own the land next to you. He says, no. Larry does, this one guy that I were friends with. And my point in all this is he, Larry, the farmer, that's his name, was blessed with his field being, because this cost these guys money. They had to go out and buy new seed. They didn't lose their harvest, but they wasted money buying new seed, and that ain't cheap out here because you're putting down thousands of seeds, tens of thousands. I says, yeah, he's a friend, and it's just like with, working for Rachel for 7 years. That dad didn't want him to leave because of the blessings that fell upon him because of, was it Jacob being a, or was it Isaac? I think it was Jacob. I get the two guys mixed up. Like, I get Peter and Paul mixed up. And so, but that's what, and it really blessed. I mean, we had a good conversation after that. And so, but yeah, I'll go a little deeper into that next week, maybe. I don't know. And so I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Be back in a minute.